Welcome to the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. This is Talk is Jericho, and let's do it. Get right into it. It's the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, it's Duff McKagan calling you. I want to tell you about this cruise ship that was out there. Had a magician on it, and it was cruising around. Every week, we'd get a new crowd. So the magician, you know, could do his same act every week. And the thing is, the captain had a parrot. And the parrot would sit there in the main entertainment room and watch this magician. The parrot started figuring stuff out. So the parrot would yell out, you know, like, that's not the same hat. He would bust the magician on the tricks, you know. And then the next week he'd go, his cards are all ace of spades. And the magician would look at the parrot like, man, it was the captain's parrot. He couldn't really do much. You know, the next week he'd say, he's got three rabbits behind him. And the whole crowd would go, oh, and the magician would get madder and madder, but he couldn't do anything. Well, as fate would have it, there was a big storm in the Pacific. It took down the whole cruise ship, unfortunately. Everybody perished except for on this plank of wood was the magician, ironically, and the parrot. And the parrot stared at the magician. The magician stares in hatred at the parrot. They didn't say anything. One day went by. 2 days went by. They're just floating there, staring at each other. 3 days went by. Finally, on the fourth day, the parrot said to the magician, okay, I can't figure it out. Where'd the ship go? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thanks to Duff for delivering every single week, no matter where he is in the world, recording a new Guns N' Roses record or doing his solo tour for the new record, Tenderness. Duff always calls him. And I actually like that one. It's a long one. Duff usually does the quick one-liners, but the parrot on the cruise ship was great. So love you, Duff, and love to love you guys here. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, Duff is taking the Tenderness tour to Europe next month if you're in the area. He and Shooter Jennings, who makes up the crux of his backup band and his band, start in Warsaw, Poland, August 22nd. Then they hit Germany, Ireland, France, Switzerland. Then come back and do a fall tour of the States starting September 25th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Get all tickets at duffonline.com. The guy never stays off the road. He's a road dog, and he's taking it to the streets to play some great rock and roll for you. And speaking of taking it to the streets, how about this guy? Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Everyone's talking about him. The word on the street is he's the top heel in the business, one of the hottest names in the business. I don't know if I agree with the first one, but I definitely agree with the second one. MGF is here. He's considering himself to be the face of the company, the face of AEW. He also feels that Cody Rhodes is his best friend. But I'll say this, we're going to keep it professional as we can. We don't see eye to eye, but we made an agreement beforehand. Let's not snipe and take shots at each other. Let's put on a show and let people know who MJF is here on Talk is Jericho. It's basically a 60-minute promo from MJF. I wanted to do a little bit of a test and see, like, how good of a promo is this guy? How good of a character is he? Well, you're going to find out right now. 60 minutes of MJF live and uncensored here on Talk is Jericho. Okay, so here at Jacksonville, big show, Fight for the Fallen. And more importantly, I'm with probably the hottest name, not even prospect, the hottest name in the business today, MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yeah, you're doing great, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're really doing great.
Oh, good, man. Well, I don't let you down.
Do you want me to take over from here? Because I can.
Please do.
I'm going to. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you are deaf, dumb, blind, stupid, or let's just get real here, poor, you are listening to the youngest and fastest rising star in the history of professional wrestling. Now, I'm just going to call a spade here. I'm sure a lot of people tune into this podcast and they thought, whoa, MJF and Chris Jericho are about to tune each other up on the microphone. But I'm a professional, and so is Chris, unlike some of the people in the AEW locker room. It's professional wrestler, not just wrestler. So I got my pizzay. I'm ready to have a good time here. We're going to have a very casual interview. Sure, there's a lot of things I could say about Chris Jericho. You know, I could go on and on. I can go on and on. But what we'll say is this. Chris reminds me a lot of a younger me, and, you know, he's damn good. He's got a lot of promise, and I'm excited to be here.
I appreciate it. Actually, the little known fact is the J in Y2J. It was originally for Jacob.
You know what? You did tell me that, and I didn't want to make you seem like a mark, but appreciate it.
If I'm going to be a mark for someone, it should be for you, because that promo you just cut there, just off the top of your head for the introduction of the podcast, and you will get your pizzay later.
Whoa. Later?
Well, I mean,
how later?
Well, they're bringing in the Brinks truck is driving up to
tremendous.
The back of the
all right,
venue.
I just want to double check
during
just,
the show. Michael Nakazawa is going to come in and give you a, give you the down
great.
To deposit.
Great.
That he does. What does that guy even do here?
Who just? I think he just. I literally saw this guy in the locker room earlier today. He's just lathering himself up. Mm. It's nonstop. Mm. It's not. What am I supposed to shake your hand? No, it's disgusting. Mm. It's bad enough he's ugly, but you're just you're just going to be all baby oiled up all day.
He's ugly and slippery,
dude.
That's even worse.
Terrible combination.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Awful.
What we do want is to talk about you, because like I said, amazing promo. Everybody's talking. Even people that don't like AEW will say, this whole show was the shits, but that one guy. That's my Jim Cornette imitation.
That was great.
Damn it. I want a triple Wendy's cheese. They used to have a triple burger at Wendy's. Used to get one. But he is a big fan. A lot of people talking about you because of your promo skills. And the fact that, like, forgive me, you basically came out of nowhere.
Sure, I mean,
you were working some areas. But now everyone's talking about you being here in AEW. Is that something that, I mean, obviously doesn't surprise you?
No, I saw it coming. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Chris. You know, there's a lot of guys on our roster that like to do their flippy-doos and their cool little moves. And that's cute. We both know that's cute. Hell, both of us, we can do it in our sleep with our eyes closed, with both of our arms tied behind our back. But that doesn't create cash. What creates cash is controversy. What creates cash is characters. Now, when I say characters, I'm not saying I'm portraying anyone, because I'm being myself 110% of the time, 24/7. When I say a character, I say somebody of intrigue, somebody that makes you want to go to the edge of your seat and have no choice but to listen to. So when I was on the independents, I did get to work all of the top tier indies. I really did. But a lot of the fans, they'd be upset, because they'd go, well, this guy doesn't do a 450 shooting star splash to the floor. He doesn't know how to wrestle. Listen, dipshit, I can do that all day long. But at the end of the day, I am coming to every single show to get the winner's purse. Now, I don't care if you like what I do in the ring. Bell to bell, all I'm worried about is getting the W. And I think that's what makes me different than everybody else on the scene right now. And also, that's what makes you different as well, which is why I'm saying again, Chris, great promise. Great promise. Been watching your stuff. Big fan.
I appreciate that. I'll send you a tape and some pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
See if you can get me booked.
I'll try.
In Poughkeepsie next month. But what I'm saying is that this is what makes you stand out to what everybody is saying, is that you are different. Because how old are you?
23 now.
Okay, 23 years old. I mean, dude, that's at 23, I was still learning how to tie up my bootlaces. But in this day and age, when wrestling is all about the 450 shooting star press, which I saw you practicing earlier in the ring.
Well, here's the thing. I need to make sure I have these things in my back pocket, just because you never know. Am I going to do it? Only when it's 100% necessity. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys are just throwing it out there because they want to impress. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not my job. It's not my job to impress. It's my job to win.
But when we're talking about all these guys, because there is this five-star match mentality.
Yeah, the schmucks.
The schmucks. Yeah. The flips and the flops and the flies, which, again, very impressive. But what makes you stand out is kind of this old school mentality. If you're going back to the Roddy Pipers Jake Roberts was a little bit more diabolical. You got a real Piper feel to you in about 84, 85, which was the peak of Piper. Is this something that you did? Were these guys your influences? Were you a wrestling fan growing up and you wanted to be like them?
I mean, here's the thing. When I was growing up, I was a huge fan, again, of the characters. I didn't necessarily care about what was going on bell to bell. Granted, I am better than literally everybody bell to bell, with the exception of people here and there. You're pretty good, Chris.
Thanks.
But I was always drawn to those characters. For example, the shit you did in WCW on Monday Night Raw, I was always drawn to the characters, the people that would be able to grab me by the balls with a microphone in their hand. The Rock, Piper 100%. To me, Piper is the greatest of all time. He's my favorite. It doesn't matter because it's an audio podcast, but the back of my phone is literally...
Oh, your screensaver?
This. I had an artist make up, like,
that's
Roddy
amazing.
Piper. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking to me as a kid.
It's Piper with the kilt on, talking to a young... Because he's got the scarf, a young Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yeah.
Is this a real moment or...
So, well, in my head. I can tell you this. Like, ever since I was a kid... Not saying I'm an adult now necessarily.
You're of legal age.
I'm grown. Yeah,
you can go to a bar and have.
Yeah, I can have fun.
Beer,
ladies, I can have fun.
You can buy me a beer later.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and I just might
appreciate it.
Yeah, but I just always knew this is what I wanted to do. I was always a freak athlete. I always had the gift of gab, and I just thought to myself, "Wow, to me, this is professional wrestling. Brings it all together. It brings athleticism. It brings the artistry. It brings performance. It's everything. It's everything wrapped up in a bow. And I'm perfect for the job." And, you know, a lot of people, they want to, you know, shit talk and be like, MJF's kind of cocky. You're not cocky if you can back it up, Chris. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. If I was going out there and I was pulling my trunks down and I was shitting bricks every single time I went out there and had a microphone in my hand, I didn't know what to do with it, and I was scared and nervous, then yeah, sure, you can talk shit. But every single time I go out there, you have no choice but to stare at me. I grab you. I literally grab you. I put my hand through your TV set and I grab you. And that's what you did. That's what Piper did. That's what the greatest wrestler of all time, my mentor, the roller coaster Cody Rhodes, does every single time he steps through the curtain. These are people that make you watch. Tremendous.
And that's what the secret is to being a star in the business, is having a connection to the crowd. Because you can be a great athlete, which is amazing, but I still always think back to, let's say, Ultimate Warrior. Not the best of athletes or workers, but when he came out, I was into it. I was mesmerized. I had a connection. Hulk Hogan, loved Hulk Hogan because of the character and the connection that he had with the audience. And you seem to understand that at this very early stage in your career, when everyone else surrounding you is all about backflips and all this other stuff, in a lot of ways. Not everybody, but like you said,
everybody, Chris. And here's the thing. I love 80s wrestling, or even prior to that, I love old school stuff. I watch Smoky Mountain. I'll watch like old school WCW tapes. I'll watch Mid-South. I'll watch AWA, Global. Like, I just love old school wrestling because to me, that's when everybody got it. That's when everybody understood how we're supposed to do what we do. But honestly, it makes my job easier because everybody's out there breaking their goddamn neck and their back and getting, you know, CTE and concussions. And I'm making a chunk of cash just being myself. So I'm happy about it. But that's my favorite, you know, the Tullys, the Flairs, the Arns, the Buddy Landells.
Wow.
Yeah. Ladd. I love old school.
Really, Ernie Ladd. So how did you discover all these old shows and wrestlers?
So luckily, since I was very fortunate enough to have YouTube at a very young age. I was able to I found this stuff. So at first, you know, you're watching Monday Night Raw and you're like, all right, this stuff's pretty cool. And you type in wrestling and out of nowhere, here's this whole other, you had no idea about it. You're 8 years old and you're like, who the hell is Nick Bockwinkel? And you just start watching away. And then the network came along and holy crap. Like, again, like the reason why I'm so good is because I'm a student of the game. And I think it's so important not to get stuck in the only time zone that you live in, because you can learn so much from just watching stuff even 4 years ago. Just go back and learn, man.
You know, it warms the cockles of my heart, MJF, to hear you say that, because I do the same thing even after being in the business for 30 years almost now. The character I had in 2008, Suit and Tie Jericho, talking very quietly with big words, it's very Nick Bockwinkel, because they had just released the DVD, The History of the AWA, which is where I grew up watching wrestling in Winnipeg and AWA. And Nick forgot how fucking amazing
incredible
Bockwinkel is, and no one else remembers it. So when you adapt, you know, you don't steal it, but you adapt. It's like that character was so Nick Bockwinkel influenced, but what's old is new. No one realized
absolutely
it.
And the beauty, you literally just said you adapt it. If I went out there and I was trying to do an impersonation of somebody I was a fan of when I was a kid, it's not legit. No one's going to feel that. I am genuinely just being MJF, because again, I'm MJF all the time. But the thing is you do get to pick up on little things that you enjoy and you make it your own. And once you do that, to me, that's the formula. That's why at 23, everyone's going, holy shit, how is this even possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. It's because I care more than everybody else. Mm. It's because unlike everybody else, I'm not watching, you know, random shindy matches and going, oh my God, a Canadian Destroyer. I don't care. Again, all I care about is being the best. And in order to be the best, you have to study the best.
How long have you been in the business for?
It is now about a month ago. Now it's 4 years. I know, long time, really been hitting the road hard, but you know, I made it.
Brother.
Thank God, brother. Thank God.
4 years then. Yeah. You got
grizzled. Yeah, grizzled.
I started when I was 19 as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
Same time.
Yeah.
Where did you train?
I trained over at Creator Pro with Kurt Hawkins and Pat Buck.
No kidding.
Yeah, man.
You're one of Hawkins' guys.
Yeah. And that school, I cannot put it over enough. Like, I have yet to encounter anyone who's fully been trained through my school that is the drizzling shits. Everybody is either really good or very much so competent. So they do great.
How did you track it down, and when did you decide you wanted to get into the business?
The story's actually pretty wild. I had a full ride football scholarship as a middle linebacker.
And you're from Long Island, right?
Yes. Yeah. I go to the college. I'm not going to name the college because legally I'm not trying to get in any trouble. After a week, the head coach looked at me. He's like, we're thinking about maybe starting you as a freshman. Now, in my head, I was like, yeah, obviously you're the best. But I had to rewind and go, why aren't you excited, man? Like, why aren't you like jumping up and down for joy? And I took a step back and I was like, it's because you don't want to waste another 4 years not being a professional wrestler. You're supposed to be a professional wrestler. So when the coach got wind that I wanted to leave, he was not happy about it. And he tried to assign me an accountability buddy. So
what does that mean?
That means a 6'8" offensive lineman was following me around literally wherever I went for 3 days straight. And I had to wait till like 3 a.m. at night, grab my keys, get in my car, and boom, drove off.
So he's following you to make sure you don't split.
Leave. Yeah. Which when I told one of my other good friends, TK, that story, his mind was blown because he said he's heard some crazy shit in NCAA football. But like
Tony Khan, you mean? Or who's TK?
TK, dude. Come on. Tony Khan. Yeah.
I have to call him Mr. Khan. My BFF. Khan.
Well, get on my level, man.
Okay.
Anyway. Before I was so rudely interrupt, come on, Chris. Come on.
This is my show, but go ahead. So you leave your accountability buddy.
I leave my 6'8" accountability buddy. I get home. My anxiety-ridden Jewish mother was a little bit frantic. What the fuck are you doing here, Max? To which I went, oh, mom, don't worry about it. I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And she didn't take it great, but luckily I had a good idea that I'd be okay. I looked into schools in the Long Island area, and the first school that popped up, it was in Hicksville, which is literally a town away from me, and that was Create a Pro.
You know, Hawkins is one of those guys that, like, will probably never be the top guy, but can do anything, and also loves pro wrestling.
Yeah, like, to the point scary where loves.
Him and frickin' Ryder have a doll podcast, yeah. A wrestling doll
they podcast. They got this weird cult pod, man. It's disgusting. If you want to check it out. It's called The Major Wrestling Pod, but it's brutal. It's just two Poindexters just yucking it up about literal dolls. So
how long was it before you were better than Hawkins at training?
About a week. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, he took it in stride, you know? Like, he's a good dude. That's the thing. He didn't cry, at least in front of me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after like one drill, I think he understood. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I get it. But at least you get a star pupil out of it, you know? You can't be jealous about that.
Well, that's good for his school,
it's great
too,
for the school.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because when I trained, it was a 3-month thing. You go like 4 days a week, whatever. How long were you training for?
I was training 3 months before I had my first match.
Mm.
And I'm not going to lie. I'm sure a lot of people will look you in the eyes and go like, my first match sucked. No, my first match was great. Crowd ate it up. I was amazing. Duh. And then right after that, it was just off to the races. I wrestled all around the New York area, and then other places started catching wind of me. I've worked every single top tier independent in the US, Canada, and the UK. I just recently worked in Mexico for The Crash. I will be headed back there with my best friend, Cody Rhodes, for AAA. So it's been a pretty sweet ride, and I'm about to do PWG for the first time. I don't know how I managed to do everything else. I never did Gorilla, and I'm going to be heading over there actually this month.
Because that's the West Coast, your East Coast guy.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because you know how it is, too, when the guys in the West Coast hear about this MJF in the East Coast, they don't want to bring you around. Because
nobody wants to lose a job.
It's going to hurt their business. 100%. Exactly. So it takes a while to kind of break it down.
Accurate.
Now they can't deny it.
No. It's too late now,
you
man.
Know, it's too late. Yeah. So you mentioned you're going to Mexico with your best friend, Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about working over there?
Well, it was interesting. When I was done being amazing, and I just don't understand. People always say like, oh, you're an asshole, whatever. Like, again, I'm just being myself, Chris.
You're an amazing asshole.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. He gets it. I'm done with my promo. I finished the match. 5 stars, duh. I'm sure Meltzer's somewhere touching himself, whatever. I exit the ring. I'm ready to go out through the curtain. A fan decides to start jaw-jacking at me. Don't appreciate that. Get in his face a little bit. And out of nowhere, some beer gets thrown on me. But the beer's warm. Really warm. And it smells. And then I realize it was not beer. It was urine. At that point, I ran to the back. What the, you know, every expletive you can think of. I tried to find a shower, found one, and a guy walked up to me. I'm not going to name who the, tiny little man was, but he ran up to me and said, oh, MJF, great. That was great. And I'm just like, yeah, was it great? Because piss got thrown on me. That was great. So am I getting a bonus? What's going on here? And he was like, nah, that didn't happen. I'm like, no, seriously, piss was thrown on me. He went, whoa, it's been a long time since that's happened. And I was just like, what am I supposed to be happy about that? Where's the body wash? Yeah. So I don't get hep A through Z, but
that's how I know that you're actually Mexican. Cause that was a thing a couple of times. I was mostly a baby face in Mexico.
Yeah.
My name is Corazon de Leon Lionheart. And the one show, for whatever reason, they didn't like me. And they were chanting Corazon de Pollo. Chicken heart,
yeah,
which I thought was hilarious. And so I started working with it because, you know, I'm pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
And so dude, heard. I got the warm beer thrown on me that, oh my God, this is piss. And then you realize, how much do you hate me to not just throw pee on me, but to actually basically stand in the crowd, pull out your cock and piss in a glass and then throw it at me because it's warm.
Yeah. And also, you know, those, you know, fat turds probably have really small pee. So you're risking some woman seeing how small you are endowed. You know,
you're taking even that advantage too. It's small pee 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 pee.
Yeah.
That's
dude.
The double whammy. There.
Double whammy.
But and I was like, man, like that takes a lot of effort, really. You know, I mean, you know, I guess.
I mean, I'm sure crazy shit has happened to both of us recently. And it was so funny because you had posted a video of pretty much a full-on anarchy with the crowd. They're just throwing shit in there.
Oh, with the lighting, light sticks?
Yes. Yeah. And the same thing happened to me the week of, and I was just like, I can't even post this because it's just going to start another war with Jericho on Twitter where we're having a, you know, who's Johnson's bigger contest.
I forgot. We did have a war on Twitter,
didn't we? We did. Here's the thing. I want to put someone to rest right here. Me and Chris, we're cool-ish. You know, he's a good guy. I don't appreciate how he talked to my, you know, my mentor slash trainer slash, you know, best friend, Cody Rhodes. Whatever. We're not going to get into it.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into
it. Let's leave that out of there.
But here's the thing. Me and Chris, we sat down. We talked about it. He wears completely different scarves than I do. I'm a Burb guy. I'm a Burb boy. It's different. Burberry, standpoint of excellence. Chris, he's got like this, you know, hot, sexy, sleek rock star scarves. It's totally different. Totally different.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, however, I... You know, without you getting offended, you would say the Burberry is a bit more high class, you know?
Just yeah, a little you would bit. Get that at like Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
Where I would get mine at like, you know, a rock and roll
store.
Right?
Which is cool.
But that's kind of, but the thing is, you do have to admit that the original scarf guy was me.
When did you debut the scarf?
I think I debuted the scarf in 2016.
Okay. Let's see.
Which is technically before you got in the business.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. I have been wearing Burberry scarves since I was 7. So, again, I don't want this to be hostile, Chris. I really don't. You're a good guy. But I did it first. Anyway, no, back to what we were talking about. Back to what we were talking about. It's fine.
7 years
old. Don't sweat, man. It's cool. You're sweating. Stop sweating.
I can't believe your level of fashion at such a young age. Yeah,
well, what do you think? Well, walking around with a Rolex and a Burb scarf. It is L.I., brother. Yeah. L.I. till
Manhasset's
I die.
It's a pretty high class area.
Manhasset. What do you know about Manhasset, bro?
Well, that's where I was born.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, people think I was born in Jericho, which is also on the island. But
very true.
They actually made that city after
me. After you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And even though it's been there since the 70s, they kind of knew I was coming.
It's so funny because they're actually working on a part of the island right now, in construction right now. It's called MJFI. And it should be done probably by the fall. It's small project.
Sure,
small
sure,
project.
Sure.
You know,
keep
side
it under
piece.
Wraps, though.
Exactly. You know, we don't want to get into it too much.
Right.
But I mean, I've had some scary stuff happen to me after shows. One time there was a guy waiting by my car with a blade.
Like
he was a
knife.
Yeah. And he was drunk, very drunk. And I was just like, all right, we'll see where this goes. I refused to cave to this guy because he was a white trash hick and I was in Kentucky and I wasn't willing to lose to somebody who has as many teeth as they do brain cells. I think I counted, like, I don't know, 5. So I pull out my car's key and I put it through my hand, like my middle finger and my ring finger.
That's a Jericho trick, dude.
Really?
Yeah, you
get out of here.
The hand.
I've been doing that since I was 6.
God, I started at 8.
All right, there you go. There we
Again.
Go.
Again.
Go figure.
So you got to see that you take a car key, you put it between your fingers and your fist.
Yes.
So when you punch, you got a little bit of an extra.
So once I did that, the guy looked at me, he goes, you're not worth it, scarf boy. And he just left. And I was just like, all right, sweet. At least I'm not going to jail tonight. And then I've had my car keyed up, tire slashed. I've had 5 jumpers. And this isn't me. I call them jumpers. I don't know if, to me, jumpers means when people get angry enough, they jump over the guardrail and try to get at you. Luckily, 4 of the 5 times the show had security. One of the times the show did not. But the guy was so inebriated that when he tried to get into the ring, he just fell. Just flat out fell. Hit the ground hard. I was like, I don't even need to like cut a promo on this poor bastard. He's just so sad. I mean, I did, obviously. Of course. What else am I going to do? But see, yeah,
that's the best thing when you have a jumper, because I've had a few.
Oh, so, yeah.
And let me just say this. This is old school heat, which is harder and harder to get as the years go by, because people know it's showbiz. Mm. But to legitimately get mad at you where they're trying to physically attack you. And like I said, I had quite a few of those back in that suit and tie Bakugel mm-hmm. Jericho. The one thing that is actually Dave Taylor told me when someone comes to the ring, goes, when they come in the ring, they got to get in the ring. And that's when you get them. Mm. As soon as they come in, because, you know, people don't know how to get into the ring like we do.
Yes.
Like, how do you quite get in? Do you slide underneath? They see it on TV. When that guy slides in, he's not going to get up in a second. You boot his fucking head off, mm-hmm. right? And we had a jumper one time in Greenville, South Carolina. I saw him coming. He was running down the aisle, and I was ready. As soon as he comes in, I'm going to football kick his face. He got up on the apron, and the ref, Charles Robinson, and the doctor, they pulled him out like Robert Shaw and Jaws when he gets dragged back in the deep, and they kicked his ass. So great. Jumpers. Yeah.
You didn't even get a chance to get him?
I didn't even
get
a chance to. The referee what a got bummer, Charles man. Robinson got him first. But yeah, those you got to watch the jumpers. But to incite enough emotion to get them to do that is a real feather in your cap.
Sure. I mean, I just really like pissing people off. It's funny to me because I do know I'm better than all these people, Chris, as I'm sure you know you're better than all these scum-sucking losers. Look, you paid a ticket to see me. If you want to talk trash, it's cute because, once again, the only reason you're sitting in that stupid seat with your fold upon fold of fat is because you paid a ticket to see MJF in action. So please get upset, because at the end of the day, I'm getting paid whether you want to jump the guardrail, throw something at me, spit on me, and all that's going to happen to you is you're going to get sued, because guess what? I have connections, and I'm going to get even more money, as if I need it, Chris, because I really don't. I mean, let's face facts here. I just bought a brand new Breitling watch. I don't need the cash.
Got it. Yeah, you don't need the cash.
At all.
Yeah. A Breitling watch goes for 5, 6, 7 grand.
This, no, what am I, poor, Chris? This was a 9K watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was just, was that a gift from TK? Or?
No, funny story here, actually. I can only read digital, but it's important to keep up appearances, you know? So you just got to let people know that you're up here and they're, you know, down there by your feet.
That's part of how you carry yourself. And to be a star, you have to look like a star. You have to act like a star constantly. And once again, too, if I can get a little bit personal, you're in great shape.
I try.
You know, and that's another thing, too. I don't want to be casting stones here, but there's a lot of guys on this job right now.
They're disgusting.
Who have never seen the inside. They're disgusting. Yeah.
Have you seen Joey Janela walk around here? I'm just going to call it out here right now. That guy is a bag of milk that grew out limbs.
It's a bowl of jelly.
It's terrifying.
He's built like a mustard packet. I got to give credit to Bobby Roode for that one.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
I'm sure you can use it.
Yeah, I'll adapt it.
Right.
I'll adapt it.
But that's it. But that's the thing, though. When you talk about that, and it's like, listen, I get everyone's got, you know, Joey's tremendous at what he does and big falls.
Yeah.
I got to be nicer. But not training.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm calling out the Chuck E. T. Not training. Part of your job, this is a show business. You got to look the part. And if that hurts some feelings, and stepping on some toes, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, we're getting paid anyway, Chris. Who cares? I don't care if people like me.
I'm going to the gym tomorrow.
There you go.
I know you're going to be.
I do DDPY.
Yeah.
5 times a week now. Yep.
Already?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not messing around. Me and Dallas, we're pretty tight. Mm. You know, also, we have this little thing going. He gives me $100 whenever I punch somebody in the face just in case they call it yoga. It's not yoga. If anybody's listening to this snickering right now, MJF does yoga. It's not yogas, guys. It's DDPY. Mm. Big difference.
And
Chris,
you
agree.
Thing. If you say the word, the Y word,
yeah,
he doesn't like it.
No,
he
doesn't.
It is DDPY.
I honestly don't even need this job. I think I could just make money off of me punching people in the face that call it the Y word.
Yeah.
Just straight up that Dallas sends me via PayPal.
And just punching people in the face in general.
It's fun. Let's be honest. It's a good time.
I saw a video just randomly. A friend of mine sent me a video yesterday.
Yeah.
Of you beating up a fat guy.
Yeah. Well, he had it coming. He was fat. There you go.
Deserves it.
Yeah. Duh.
You hit him with a cane and everything.
Yeah. I had a Singapore cane in hand. This guy was a little bit weird. I'm not going to lie. I got paid to do it. And I enjoyed
paid
it.
You to hit him with
he paid game. Me to hit him with a cane, and he definitely got his money's worth, Chris.
Yeah, he did.
He got his money's worth.
He did. So tell me what types of people annoy you the most.
Oh, God. How much longer do we have? How much time do we have?
Some time. Yeah,
Jesus.
We have some time. We're doing good here, man.
God. I'm going to go with poor people, ding, 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 because they just feel like they deserve handouts, and it makes me sick. I don't have a house. I don't have a job. I'm starving. You're starving because you're lazy. You don't have a job because you're lazy. You're ugly, not because you're lazy. You were born that way. But that's not my fault, Chris. It's my fault that you were born looking like a hogwart when you came out of the womb. No, that's not on me. I didn't conceive you. Your ugly, poor parents conceived you. And it's just this cycle of disgustingness. And that's why when we go through that curtain tonight, first of all, I have to deal with that idiot Sean Spears. I'm not trying to get myself worked up here. I'm already worked up enough talking about poor people. But we are going to see, for every one good-looking person, if you can find one, there is about 1,000 disgusting, fat marks. And it just makes me sick to my stomach. But again, I get paid to wrestle. So I just have to kind of, just got to close my eyes, take a deep breath and go.
It's a necessary evil.
It really is. Because at the end of the day, I'm making so much more money than these people. So if that means I have to look at them for, gosh, I don't know, 15, 10, 8, 20 minutes, however long it takes for me to beat my opponent.
Maybe.
Well, it's never going to take me long to beat my opponent, Chris. I'm MJF.
Maybe if it's an Iron Man match or something. You'd be up 15 to nothing.
I don't know if TK has that much money to get me in a match like that.
Okay. You get paid by the minute.
We'll talk about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I was going to say is that it reminds me of Seinfeld when they said, what percentage of people are good looking? 10% is like 3%.
3%.
Then that's probably right. So tonight, if we have, 8,000 people here, carry the one. There's going to be about 240 good looking people.
And if only six of them are women, we'll split it 3 by 3. Mm-hmm. That's fair, right?
That's a good night.
There you
out.
Go.
That's a good night. Yeah. I saw you're going on the Jericho cruise.
I am.
Huge reaction around. People were actually paying double that had already paid.
Yes.
Just I because you're on there. Yeah, like
I saw
people
that.
Paid
they
for
felt
cabin.
You guys deserved more money just for getting me on this trip.
This is not, you're not charging me enough now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, but you had a nice comment about the cruise.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. This is a comment strictly for women that are attractive. If you somehow magically are listening to this podcast, make sure you leave your boyfriend at the poop deck and just come in the skimpiest, dirtiest bikini you could possibly find and find your boy MJF if you want to get a ride on the maximum ride. You know, I'm just looking to have a good time, some fun in the sun, catch some fish. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? There you go.
Maximum ride, is that?
That's what the ladies call it. I never wanted to give it a name. It's kind of embarrassing, but, you know.
It's kind of like Space Mountain.
The shoe fits.
Well, if the lady calls it that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone else calls you the salt of the earth and the greatest performer and all
of all time. Yeah,
you don't really say that about. Well,
oh my god,
say
I get very annoyed with self-anointed nicknames. It's so pompous and arrogant. No, every single one of my nicknames is because several people say it when they see me. You know, greatest of all time, God amongst men, youngest, fastest rising star in the history of professional wrestling, better than you know it. I'm not a jerk, you know? I'm not just coming up with this stuff all by my lonesome. I leave my house and people stop in the street and they go, damn! That's not on me, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's not on me.
The greatest of all time already after 4 years on the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Like Ric Flair?
Yeah. Again, I'm not saying it.
Well, other people. Other people are saying that you're the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Not Ric Flair.
You know, I heard Rick's a cool guy, you know, and again, I've seen him stuff, big fan, but you know, there are a lot of people on the Twitter, you know, the social butterflies they are, and they're just going, hey, MJF's 4 years in and he might be the greatest ever. And again, I'm not saying it, so nobody really can get offended by me. Talk to them about it. I'm just reading the tweets.
It's like the poor people's parents, ugly parents. Talk to them about it.
Don't equate me. I understand where you're going with that, but I don't even want to be.
I wasn't comparing the two.
Oh God!
I had ended the sentence.
I thought we were cool, man.
I turned to the next page.
All right.
So poor people, you don't like anybody else that bothers you?
Well, man, honestly, it's the top of my list. It really is. And besides that, I'm gonna have to say Sean Spears. Sean Spears.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Seriously, he's a scumbag. Him and Cody, my mentor, my best friend, the roller coasters, the king of the crossroad, Cody Rhodes. Don't know if you ever heard of him, Chris.
I didn't know the roller coaster.
The roller coaster.
Where'd that come from,
dude? That's his nickname.
Oh, okay.
You haven't heard that?
I have.
Guess you guys aren't that tight. No,
we're
big
not
deal.
That tight. No, that son of a bitch. You see the what? Sign on my whoa, door? Whoa, it says Chris whoa, Jericho whoa, underneath. Whoa.
Chris
Cody Rhodes allowed.
Chris, we said we weren't going to say anything bad about.
Apologize. He's your best friend. I digress.
Thank you. He decided after years of friendship with one of the greatest men to ever live, Cody, to just
the roller coaster.
Waffle him. Yes, the roller coaster. To just waffle him in the head with a chair.
Kind of out of line.
Kind of? Mm. First of all, no one should be laying a finger on that man. He is a saint. Second of all, Why? Why, Sean? I just want to know. Why would you do that to somebody who has treated you with nothing but respect? Got you a job.
Mm.
You have a job. You are getting paid now because of him. Mm. You no longer have to scrounge on the shindies and the indies. You now are getting paid money because Cody Rhodes, out of the kindness of his heart, decided to give you, a complete jabroni, a job. He didn't have to do that, Chris. He didn't have to do that at all. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wrap my head around it. And that's why tonight, in this tag match, look, again, like I said, everyone out there is wrestlers. Me and you are professional wrestlers. So I'm going to try my best to be a professional. However, if Sean decides to get out of line during this matchup, I can assure you that the first part of my title, professional, just might let it get thrown out the window just for a little bit through the cracks. I can't stand this.
Some revenge going on.
You might call it that, or you might call it getting even.
10 or 12 staples in the back of the roller coaster's head.
I had to watch my best friend he was bleeding into my hand. I was holding this man.
Cradling his head.
Cradling him. And, you know, your best friend's here, Cody. It's going to be okay. And his blood was just everywhere. And how do you do that? How are you that much of an awful human being that you're willing to turn on somebody who you claimed you loved and cared about? Sickening.
Well, let's talk about your relationship with Cody Rhodes.
I would love to talk about my relationship with Cody Rhodes.
I can even burst at the seams.
Yes.
His name about 15 times since we've been here.
Scott, come on.
Once again, not my favorite guy, but it's not.
That's on you, man.
I'm not interviewing myself. Yep. It's like the ugly people's parents.
Yes.
Where did you guys become such good friends? What kind of relationship you have? Vacations you've gone on? Tell us some stories.
So, King of the Crossroads, Roller Coaster Cody Rhodes. I was on an independent show at a promotion called Alpha One in Canada, around your parts. And I had a match. He was on the show. He witnessed the match and he pulled me to the side and he said that he really liked my stuff and he dug it. And that meant the world to me because this is somebody I've looked up to since I was a kid. He continued to kind of follow along my career without me knowing. I had no idea he was. And out of the blue, I had gotten a message on Twitter and he said, "Hey, how would you like to be a part of All In?" And I thought to myself, whoa, this guy's really sticking his neck out. Because at that point, people knew me, Chris. I mean, everybody knows me. But I wasn't in the position I'm in now.
But not on a nationwide basis.
Precisely.
Right.
Precisely. I was not a household name quite yet.
Like you are now.
Duh.
A mansion hold name.
Yeah.
It's not just
I like that.
Too big for a house.
The mansion hold name.
Yeah.
MJF.
Yeah.
I might adapt that.
You can adapt that one too.
Yeah. And I just thought to myself, what an amazing opportunity this guy's giving me. And after that, I had the match with Matt Cross. I was amazing. And
did you guys have a single match?
We did. We had a singles match. We were the first match on the All-In card, which is pretty crazy historic if you think about it.
Obviously the biggest crowd you'd ever been in front of.
At that time, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Must have been quite a cool feeling.
Yeah, it was incredible. And my favorite part was when my music hit and the Titantron came on, they instantly knew. They knew what their job was. And I knew what my job was. And it was a really, really good time.
What was their job?
Their job was to shut up and watch greatness. And watch a legend literally appear out of thin air in front of their very eyes within one match. Mm-hmm. And after that, Cody pulled me to the side and he was like, "Hey, I'm sure you're gonna have a much easier time now going to, you know, another place. We don't have to get into the name of it. If you want to get into the name of it, whatever, WWE, whatever."
WWE, right.
Yeah. At the time I was signed to Major League Wrestling. And
what does that mean, being signed to Major League Wrestling?
I actually had signed a 3-year deal with MLW, MLW's owned and ran by Court Bauer.
Yeah.
And in my contract, it stated I could not work for WWE. At no point in the contract did it state anything about AEW because AEW was not even a thing yet.
Didn't exist.
Did not exist. So once we figured out the logistics of everything and Court was 100% cool. Court's honestly an amazing guy, amazing businessman. He's been able to build something fairly quick.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because I know that there's some guys that have MLW exclusivity.
Yes.
And I don't know what that entails. Are you getting a guaranteed money to do it? Or?
Yes, precisely. Gotcha. You're getting guaranteed money, guaranteed dates.
Gotcha.
And you do, you get to work TV on BN Sports, which is exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's a great network.
It is. It truly is. And so I honestly lucked out. Cody hit me up out of the blue. He was like, "Hey, here's my friend TK, Tony Khan. Don't know if you ever heard of him." And me and Tony talked for about an hour and a half over the phone. And instantly I went, because in my head I had two ideas, because there were rumblings that there was interest for me from the other company. Mm-hmm. But once I got to talk to Tony, I instantly went, "Oh no, this is where I'm supposed to go." Because it's like the idea of somebody walking up to me and going, hey, kid, here's what we want out of you tonight. Here's what you're going to do. I don't do well with that.
Here's your promo.
Don't get me started, man.
Right.
Nobody can tell me how I talk, mm-hmm. just like nobody can tell you how you talk. And, you know, Cody literally was a mentor for me. He would always take me to the side. He would help me. He would critique my stuff. He would tweak stuff here and there. And the fact that Cody is the reason I'm here. Cody Rhodes is the reason that MJF is here. Cody Rhodes is the reason that MJF is going to be the future face of this company. And he really just took me under his wing. He got me this job. And ever since then, I mean, I stay at his house almost every other week.
I see you guys swimming.
Oh, yes, dude, swimming. We go in that hot tub, barbecues, wine drinking, some cigar smokage. And we just have fun. We just played GoldenEye. Let me tell you something. That is hard.
What is it?
GoldenEye is a video game on, I believe, the... Is it NES, PlayStation? I'm going to butcher it, and Cody's going to get really upset at me.
Is it an old
me.
School game?
It's very old.
Is it based to on, me, James Bond, on the James Bond?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You,
yeah. And like to move the character, it's not like it is now with my Xbox One, where if I flick it, the character sprints.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The character like struggles to move. It's a hard game, but we killed it. We figured it out. Cody mentored me through the whole thing. Yeah, the man's
there actually
for
mentoring you
through
for
video,
video
games
as well.
There's literally nothing that he hasn't helped me with. I mean, literally, true story, I was over his house. I realized I forgot to bring a suit. Cause I needed to cut a promo for this upcoming show. And he went, here, just take my suit. And I went like, take your suit. Okay, I guess I'll just put it on and I'll give it back to you when I was done. It fit like a glove. And then when I was done with the promo, I was like, here you go. He's like, no, that's yours now. I was like, whoa. He's just an incredible human being. He's been very good to me. And some might argue that he's the face of this company right now. So all I'm trying to do is just live up to his hype for me and the expectations he's laid out for me. Hmm. And hopefully someday I'll have his spot.
Going back to what you said earlier about, coming here with not being told what to do and all that sort of thing, yeah. kind of what you hear WWE is like. And it's the same with the Bucks and with Kenny. And it's interesting to me that all of this happened like at the same time. Tony's desire to start a company, mm-hmm. all of us.
Yes.
That contracts were up or wanted to do things a little bit differently. Now, for you as a 23-year-old kid growing up, watching WWE, all these other things, do you feel like I know you said you don't want to go to WWE, but do you feel like was WWE your goal at one point?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think it was anybody's. If somebody says it wasn't their goal, I think they were
lying.
Yeah, honestly. But once I found out about this, and once I found out who was going to be running it, who was going to be involved in it, I was like, yeah, no, like, cool. And I knew what I wanted for me. That's not me shitting on WWE. Again, I think Tony's 100% accurate when he says they're not our competition. We're not trying to compete with anybody. We're just doing our own thing.
And we're an alternative.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're doing it well. And we're doing it really well. We are showcasing professional wrestling the way it should always be showcased as sport. Mm. Wins and losses obviously do matter. And that's why all of us in this locker room are fighting so hard to win every time we go out there. Because we know that we're going to get a fat bonus if we do. Like, this is stuff that I care about. I care about this presentation of professional wrestling. I care about the fact that I know who I am and I don't need anybody. I don't care how great you are trying to tell me how to do my thing. I'll listen when somebody that I respect tells me to do it, like a Cody Rhodes, and walks up to me and goes, hey, I would appreciate if maybe in the way you present yourself or the way you're presenting yourself during a press conference, maybe curse a little bit less. Okay, Cody, I understand, and I will digest that. But I don't want anyone trying to tell me what to do A through Z, because I know what to do.
You're smart, too. You realize that the cursing kind of eliminates an entire demographic of
people. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Who won't get to experience your
the
brilliance.
Thing was, those people at that press conference, man, those journalists, quote-unquote, dumb as bricks, man. So I got a little frustrated. You know, you can watch it back if you haven't seen it before. It's only like one of the most viewed things on this man's channel, Chris Van Vliet. And,
Chris Van Vliet.
I also did an interview with him as well. What a loser. But again.
He's probably going to be here tonight.
He's a schmuck. Don't get me started.
If he's backstage, can you please have him kicked out?
What? Is he backstage right now?
He probably will be at some point.
Nope. Not on my watch, Chris. Not on my watch.
Chris Van Vliet.
Yeah, Chris Van Vliet.
Please have him
out.
Have Atlas.
I'll talk to Atlas right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a bit of a tumultuous relationship, but I'll talk to Atlas right now.
With Atlas.
Yeah.
What happened?
Sam, one of the guys that works for them, I don't think he understands his place. You know what I mean? Not quite understanding that, like, you're beneath me, shit face. Like, just do your job, you know? Stop making eye contact with me. You're
don't
ugly.
Talk to me directly.
Yeah. Why ugly. Are you looking at me, you know?
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Thankfully, he's not poor, because then he'd really be out of line.
Knowing Knowing what I know, I'd have a hard time to believe that they'd be poor working for my BFFF.
Of course.
TK.
If you work here,
yeah,
you're a millionaire.
You're doing good.
Instantly.
You're doing right. good. Look, I'm not trying to throw out specific numbers, Chris. You're just throwing out the numbers.
Well, I mean, I heard yeah. the rumors. Yeah.
Great mind.
I'm still on a daily, $150 plus 30 cents a mile for trans, but
like it,
I'm
like
hoping
it.
To work my way up, but that's fine.
You'll figure it out. Like I said, big promise.
Thanks,
you got promise.
Yeah, thanks. Let's go through some of the guys you mentioned before and explain what you like about them. Ernie Ladd, which is very rare to say that because Ernie doesn't get a lot of credit for being just an amazing talker.
He had the ability to draw you in, but he didn't have to scream, which also reminds me of Jake the Snake. He could look into the camera and very calmly tell you about why he was going to win the match and why he was better than his opponent. And he made it sound very simple and concise to the point where you were like, huh, man, this guy's too confident. This guy's way too confident. But he wasn't screaming at you. Because the second somebody looks at me and goes, when I see you out there, I don't care. I don't, nothing is connecting with me. Because it just, you're being a phony baloney bastard.
Well, that's the cliched version of what a wrestler is.
Yes.
Based on kind of a 1980 Hulk Hogan
yes.
promo, for example.
Now, if you have a reason to be angry and you're not wrestling this guy for the first time, like, for example, every time I think of Sean Spears, my blood actually boils because he's
starting to sweat.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. He just is. So if my voice goes up a little bit, I'm not gonna apologize because I'm mad. But if I'm wrestling, I don't know, some loser like Marco Stunt, who literally, like, I don't know whose child he is. Like, I got nervous.
On him.
I
thought he was a bug,
dude. I hear an ouch and I look down and he's just down there, like, all curled up in a ball. And I'm just like, oh, sorry, I guess.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm not gonna scream about Marco Stunt. I'm just gonna clearly and concisely lean back and go, yeah, I'm gonna win. Mm-hmm. Like, duh,
yeah, easy, right?
Yeah, he's yeah. like four,
yeah,
yeah,
like feet,
yes,
is what he is. It's funny what you say about the quiet talk. When I mentioned the Nick Bockwinkle character influence, the other side of that character was, have you ever seen the movie No Country for Old Men?
Yes.
Javier Bardem, Anton Chigurh, basically telling you that I'm going to murder you, mm-hmm. and this is why, and yep. there's nothing you can do about it. Flip the coin. I remember watching that going, that is the best character for a heel, especially around that time. There was more of a yelling and high energy. So when I came and started talking very quietly, what it does is it causes, and this is in the peak of the what it causes people to shut up and have to listen to what you're saying because yeah. they can't hear you. Once they start listening, then you got them.
Mm-hmm.
That's another technique that you use. Yep. I remember one time I was doing that, so I was like, I can't hear you, and it's like, exactly, so shut up and really listen.
Yeah,
that's how you get command.
It forces them. They don't right. have an option.
Right. So Ernie Ladd would do that
100%. Yeah.
What about Piper
man? And I think this is the reason why we get compared a lot. When he came through the curtain, it didn't matter who was in the ring. It didn't matter who the adversary was. It didn't matter who was surrounding him at all. You had no choice because that man's energy, it exuded. He was a star. He didn't have to do diddly jack shit. All he had to do was stand there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it didn't even matter what he was saying. Now, granted, he'd have some great, great, great lines. Amazing, amazing, intelligent shit would come out of his mouth. But it didn't matter. He literally could say poopy, poop, gaga, blah. The dialogue doesn't matter because Roddy Piper's saying
mm-hmm.
it.
I had, when I was studying acting, my coach said, you should, as a great actor, be able to read the yellow pages and make somebody cry.
Mm.
It's not the words, it's the performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Roddy had, the intensity of it. And like you said, and also I was just thinking right now, two things, and I'll tell you the second part. Piper didn't do a lot. I don't even remember what his finish was, if he had one.
I think
Sleeper?
Sleeper.
Yeah. What is your finish?
My finish, I have two.
Okay.
I have an arm submission, mm-hmm. which is called the Salt of the Earth Bar. And I have a pile driver, which is called the Heat Seeker.
Okay. A pile driver is pretty rare to see.
Yeah. I just don't like people. And sometimes I just, you know, don't want them to be able to wrestle anymore. So that's why that's my move.
And that's just the way it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. You mentioned Tully.
Oh, yeah. Tully, to me, believable. Everything was believable. That was the most, that was the thing that drew me into Tully the most. Because whenever he'd talk, he could literally go, I'm about to go out there. I'm about to fight a chicken. But he would figure out a way to make everything that was coming out of his mouth, you would go like, okay, no, this is legit. Everybody else, again, phony baloney bullshit, guys just trying to, you know, do moves and jerk themselves off because they want people to care about him. He didn't care about that. He was just very clear and very concise. Hey, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, and the last one you mentioned, Buddy Landell. Super underrated.
Yes.
Territory guy, Smoky Mountain wrestling area.
So arrogant, man. Yeah. That's when I think him, I just think arrogance personified. Like, and I'll tell you what, Buddy, not the most attractive man on planet Earth.
No.
But he thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I loved about Buddy, is mm-hmm. he just exuded just arrogance, mm-hmm. like through the screen. Yeah.
What was it like for you when you were in high school? Did you have the same attitude?
Amazing. Yeah. High school was great. Now's great. Life's just been great, Chris. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. Being able to be attractive, be a great athlete, be a good talker. I mean, I'm not sure if there's a woman on this planet I can't pull, single or married, mm-hmm. you know? Not saying I'm trying to, you know, step on any toes, but yeah, I could literally, there's not a woman on the planet that I can't just take home.
The only other person I ever heard say that, Gene Simmons.
Gene?
He said I could pick up any woman in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure.
On Oprah. And Oprah's like, any woman. He's like, even you.
Even you. Yeah. And guess what probably happened in the back after the show?
He banged Oprah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Boom.
As we wind down here, tell us about some of your goals for AEW to help build the company. Because like I said, as the young guys,
yep.
you, Jungle Boy,
yep.
very important.
Sure.
I have two 12-year-old twins, which is what do you say when you say the same thing twice? Redundant.
Hmm.
They love Jungle Boy because he's 22 years old.
They have awful taste, but I'll listen. I'll listen.
Yeah, he's a good guy, right?
Yeah, whatever.
But it's important to have some young guys with the confidence that you guys have, because that draws in a whole different demographic.
Yeah.
That we don't have in the business right now.
Sure. And it's hard to find somebody that resembles It, you know?
Cousin It?
Yes.
Oh, and Jungle Boy.
His hair, man.
Right, right.
It is out of control.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
Sideburns, too.
Yeah. He's got to shave those things.
Yeah, that's terrible. Maybe you and I
hair.
Later on should...
we'll find him. We'll just sit him down. We'll talk to him a little bit. But yeah, you know, Jungle Boy's whatever. But yeah, I agree. As far as my goals go, when I have to take a step back, I'm going to be the AEW world champion. Now, respectfully, I'm fully aware what's about to go down with you and, Hangman Page. Sorry, just gagged my mouth a little bit.
Hard for you to say that name?
Yeah, he's just... He's
I noticed that you call him a horse.
Boy. Yeah. Well, he's got a real long face. You know?
His nose goes straight from his forehead to his nose.
Down.
There's no, like... Yeah, you know
what's weird? His eyes, too. You ever notice they're... They almost touch his ears.
Yeah.
He's just a real ugly prick.
If you guys have ever seen the statues at Easter Island, Google it now. It's Hangman.
I'm glad we're agreeing on this.
Oh, Hangman's seriously. A piece of crap. I don't like him at all.
Yeah.
But you know what I don't like? Ask me what I don't like.
What don't you like?
Cowboy gimmicks. Hate cowboy gimmicks.
Bro, it's 2019.
I mean, come on.
What are you doing? Am I supposed to believe this?
Yeah, you're a cowboy.
You're a cowboy, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's only one real cowboy, and it's the naked cowboy in New York City.
Right.
It's the only cowboy I know.
You want to be a cowboy?
Yeah.
Take your drawers off and play guitar.
There you go.
Other than that, I don't want to hear it.
Get out of my face.
You know,
get out of my face. Chris, I like you, Chris.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks.
You're okay.
I still got potential?
Yeah,
Can you put in a good word to TK for me? Yeah.
Look, I'll think.
I don't want to overstep.
I'll think about it.
Okay. So we don't like so what we're saying, what your goals are.
Yeah. So
you're
definitely
the champion.
AEW world champion is very important to me. And I want to be, like I said, the face of this company. Right now, when I think of the face of this company, whether people want to hear it or not, it's my best friend, my mentor, Cody Rhodes. And once he is ready to step down and it's time for somebody to take that mantle and pick up that plate and be the poster boy, that's going to be me. And I'm very excited about that.
He's going to hand you the torch.
I'd like to believe so.
What are you going to do in the meantime to make sure that happens?
Oh, I mean, again, no matter where Cody is on an AEW card, he's the face of the company. It doesn't matter whether I have the championship belt or not. Granted, I am going to be, once I do have that title, it is going to be my job to be the greatest AEW world champion of all time. And Chris, I'm sure you're going to beat that loser Hangman, and then maybe me and you can discuss, you know, whatever. We don't have to get into it. I don't want to get heated right now, but, you know, we can, adults.
We agreed before we stepped in this room to keep things civil.
Yes.
Because I'm starting to get a little hot.
I understand.
And some of your insinuations here.
I don't want
but
that.
But we're
calm.
Professionals.
We're professionals, precisely.
Professionals, exactly.
Precisely professionals. And again, you look at fights like Mayweather versus... Oh, here's a perfect example. Mayweather versus McGregor. Mm. Now, both these guys, they understood that if they fought each other, they were going to make a lot of money. Now, again, I'm not sure if you're going to win this bout. Mm. I don't, you know, I'm not saying I necessarily have a horse in this race because I hate horses, no pun intended.
Right, right.
But if you do, you know, I think there's that's something that would be of intrigue.
There might be a chance that we would face, hey, make a lot of money.
Yeah, we really
would.
For a lot
of people, most importantly us.
Yeah, well, me. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, me too.
Me.
I ain't doing it for less than you.
Well,
but All right. Okay.
We okay. Said yeah. Let's simmer down.
Civil.
We're going to be okay. Civil. We're going to keep this civil.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
You're going to PWG.
Yes.
First time ever.
First time ever.
You know, finally, you get that look off your face because I want you to be comfortable here. You're my
We're
guest.
Calm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to cause any problems.
You know what? I'm going to take a swig of this water right now.
We almost made it to the end without fighting.
We did.
I didn't think we'd get this far, but we're 53 minutes in.
That's good water.
And we've actually been nice.
Yep.
Thank you. I got that for you. Your taste. I got that imported.
You did.
From Nepal.
Can you believe that they have Poland Spring in this locker room? Can you believe that they're actually serving people on our roster Poland Spring?
Are you kidding me?
Dude,
the amount of money in this place, but not here, dude. Not in this dressing
room. No, not in this dressing room. Baby.
I told you, that's Nepal.
That's the good shit.
Straight from Nepal.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
That's straight from a wizard. A wizard makes that water up in the mirror. You're going to PWG.
Yes.
Famously known as one of the more intense work rate companies.
Sure, sure.
Only 400 tickets available, yep. You know, all the other stuff you hear. Once again, not known for the triple Lindy's that we know you can do.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with these super, super smart fans?
Oh, I don't care. I'm getting paid.
Okay.
I don't care. Honestly, if I'm going to be serious right now, and I hope PWG fans are listening to this right now, if I want to, because I can, because I'm a brick shithouse, I'll grab Darby Allin by the head, I will snap mare him, and I will put a headlock on him, and I'll hold that son of a bitch for as long as I want. And if you got a problem with it, tough tits. I don't care what you want to see. I don't care, because what you want to see doesn't matter. At all.
Mm-hmm. This is what you want to give him.
There you go.
You're gonna give him some MJF. Last few questions. What's your favorite match that you ever had?
All of them. No, it's
all mine. All my favorite MJF matches that I've seen. Yeah, and I've seen one.
There you go, Chris.
I saw one.
That's funny, man. That's good stuff. You're real funny. Do people ever tell you how funny you are?
Once in a while.
You ever consider stand-up comedy?
A little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff.
Yeah, I got a,
anywho.
Got a couple jokes.
Yeah, good. Yeah. We like jokes here. Yeah. Jokes are good.
So speaking of jokes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite match?
My favorite match of all time.
Pretty funny.
It's very serious, actually. It's a really serious match, actually. My favorite match of all time, I would have to say, gosh, this is hard. I am going to go with, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to be the first time me and Cody tag in Mexico, because to me, that means a lot to me, because it means I get to tag with my best friend and my
mentor. Is that Triple Mania?
Yes, I believe so.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so there's none in the past that you've had?
I mean, again, Crit, how are you supposed to differentiate? They're all amazing. I'm in them. Next question.
When I pulled up to Gazette to All In, I was secret, did a run-in, dressed as Pentagon on Kenny Omega. Got there after the show had started, and what was the match that you were in?
It was his first match.
Driving down the highway.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
It was, and this is like a mile from the building.
Sure.
MJF.
Yeah.
Yep. What is MJF? What does it stand for? They were chanting your name. You could hear this outside of the arena.
From that far away, huh?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. How do you keep people from chanting your name, though? You don't really want that. Because they didn't know who you were at first. They just saw you come out in this charisma.
Sure.
Charisma.
Grab them. Yeah.
And they just couldn't help it.
I'll tell you, I don't know why they don't chant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly confused and befuddled by the fact that I get booed. Because I'm really good at what I do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when I take a step back, Chris, the only thing I can come up with is jealousy. It's the only thing I can come up with. Because I'm a salt of the earth guy. I'm a good person. So, yeah.
Where would you get the name Salt of the Earth from?
Cody, actually. He bestowed that name upon me. Great guy, man. The best.
You haven't said that enough yet.
Have I mentioned that?
You haven't mentioned that. I don't know, man. Anybody that you're looking forward to wrestling here besides that piece of shit, Sean Spears?
I would say, again, I think me and you would absolutely be a money match. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one of the first things that comes up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I would say Cody, but the thing is I could never do it. Do I want the experience of being able to wrestle somebody that I look up to? Yes, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth it. It's just absolutely not worth it. Because I would never be able to hurt him, ever. He's an amazing human being.
After you cradle him in your arms with the blood dripping, you know? You don't forget moments like that.
No.
I've never done this before on Talk is Jericho. I'm going to do a speed round.
Ooh.
I'm going to say a name.
Yep.
And you throw out the first word or two words that you think of, okay? MJF.
Amazing.
Sean Spears.
Piece of shit.
TK.
My best friend besides Cody Rhodes.
Fat people.
I'm sorry. I gagged in my mouth again a little bit. Can we do the next one?
Poor people.
I don't want to puke on your pod. Okay. I'm not trying.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
AAA wrestling.
Just no piss, please.
Ugly people.
Are you trying to make me puke, man?
Well, I kind of thought
I was beginning to think we were getting cool again.
Well,
and now here I am, like, keep gagging.
Okay. Cars.
Cars. Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
I own two.
Okay. Guitar.
I don't play it. I'm a singer, actually.
Instagram fitness models.
Please.
Skimpy bikinis on the Jericho cruise.
More.
And finally, Chris Jericho.
Put me on the spot here, Christopher. I'm going to go with potential.
I can take that.
There you go.
You know, that's the first time that someone's called me Christopher. You're the only person that's called me, except for my Auntie Joan.
Really?
89 years old.
So you're telling me that now I'm stealing Auntie Joan's gimmick.
You're adapting.
I'm adapting. Good shit, Chris. Good segue out of this pod.